What is going on, everyone? This is NBA Therapy, Episode 11. We are back, and so much going on with the NBA. I want to get right into it. My name is Nate Dizor, and I'm joined by my co-host,
Stephen Pack.
And, yeah, this is Episode 11, NBA Therapy, and there's just so much going on in the NBA. Playoffs are coming soon. There were a few things that we couldn't touch to in the last podcast that I want to touch briefly in first. Just before we get into all the games that's happened and all the storylines and narratives going into playoffs, real quick. So, did you see the Lakers Jazz game from about 5 or 6 days ago? Mm-hmm. Davis had a really great game. Honestly, one of the few great games he's had recently. Had like 42. And we'll get into how he's doing more recently. I thought Mike Conley has looked the best he has all season.
Like, I know. Right now. No, he definitely looks great. Yeah, I'm watching the games. Way better. Yeah, I'm watching the games, and it just seems like Grizzlies, yeah, Mike Conley.
The Jazz need that, especially with Bogdanovich out. Almost triple-double for LeBron that game. One of the few good games for the Lakers. I mean, we'll get into how everyone feels about them recently. But this is the game that I really want to get into. It's the Bucks-Nets game. For all you gamblers out there, and I don't gamble. I think Steven likes to delve, but who knows? I personally don't. I'm not a gambling man. But if you did want to gamble on that Bucks-Nets game, the line was plus 19. Plus 19 for the Bucks. So they had to beat us by 20 or more for you to make your money if you bet on the Bucks. And they didn't even win. The Nets won. And more on that. So, by the way, as soon as Jamal Crawford went in, and again, we signed him recently, he gets injured. It's heartbreaking. I couldn't wait to watch him play. He was playing great. He had 5 points and 3 assists in 6 minutes. I mean, only took 4 shots, made 2 of them. And he looked fine. He looked great. And injured is crushing. But so all the Nets players that haven't traveled, Dinwiddie, DeAndre Jordan, obviously Kyrie, KD, Torian Prince, guys in our rotation, they're not even in the bubble in the first place. In this Bucks-Nets game, Caris LeVert, Joe Harris and Jared Allen, our 3 best players right now, missed the game, and we still won. And Milwaukee, the only person that missed the whole game for Milwaukee was Brook Lopez. And that's a big loss, but we're missing, like, kind of our 7-man rotation. Steven, and I know how much of a fan you are of the NBA. How many players do you think you can name who played in that game, besides Jamal Crawford? Like, guys that played, like, 20 minutes plus. Just try right now. Name as many players as you can on the Nets that would have played in that game.
Joe Harris, right?
No, Joe Harris didn't play.
Caris LeVert, did he play?
Nope.
Timothy Luau Cabrera, or however you say it.
Cameron, yeah. TLC, that's one.
Jared Allen.
Nope, didn't play.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I just said it. Joe Harris, Caris LeVert, and Jared Allen didn't play.
Oh, my God.
Our 3 best players right now. So you got one, TLC. Wow. Surprised you got that. French love.
No, I can definitely name more. I'm having a big brain fart right now. Like, I definitely know a lot more than that. I'm sorry for the Nets supporters out there, but I can't name any more.
Look, most Nets fans wouldn't be able to name 5 players. I'll just give... And also, Justin Anderson, another player
that's,
of the Nets.
That's the one.
He kind of dunked on Giannis, and no one really cared, but whatever. We had like our bench of the bench. This is the bench of the bench that played.
I just thought of 2. Rodion Kurux and
yep, Rodi.
Chris Chioza.
Yeah, Chioza. Yeah, Chioza is nice. So basically, and again, Giannis and Chris Middleton missed the second half. I get that, but we were up in the first half. We were up by 8 going into it, and we won the game by about like 5 or 3. And I guess they missed Brook, and his brother, Robin Lopez, was a mess in that game. Like, moving screens, 3-second calls, there were so many. It was like automatic. As soon as he set a screen, it'd be moving screen. So, obviously missing Brook Lopez helped us, but we were missing our count. This was just our rotation. I'm just going to name this rotation. And NBA fans out there, just realistically think to yourself how many people you know, and we beat the best record team in the league. Just want to say that. Justin Anderson, Zan Musa, spelled a D, first letter, Cristioza, Timofey Luwawu Cabarón, Jeremiah Martin, Rodions Kurucs, Dante Hall, and Lance Thomas. And Garrett Temple. That's an easy one. Garrett Temple.
Great game
for Garrett Temple and TLC. Monster games. And also, the listeners, we had like a hurricane coming through during that game. What's it called? Like a tropical storm?
Yeah, a tropical storm, yeah.
It's like a, they named it, I can't remember the name of it, Isaiah or something like that.
I have no clue.
Doesn't matter. There was kind of like a hurricane coming through. And my power goes off with 6 seconds left in the game. 6 seconds. You couldn't have picked the worst time. My power goes out, and we're up by two, and it's the Bucks ball. Or it might have even been up by one, and it's the Bucks ball. And then finally my power comes back after a few minutes, and the game's over, and we win. And I saw the replay. We got the steal on the last play. Jeremiah Martin clinched the game, and it just felt great. Because we need this games. Look, I know everyone's thinking, Nets aren't going to come close to winning in the playoffs. Why do you care? I truly think playoff experience is a really important thing. Even if it's in the bubble where there's no crowd, so it's kind of a whole different atmosphere. I just think it's a good experience, especially for our young guys like Caris LeVert, Joe Harris, Joe Allen. And Caris LeVert, last time I saw him in the playoffs, was scoring 21 a game and like six assists, or not six assists, probably a little lower. But he was shooting about 50%, and he was our leading scorer in the playoffs when D'Angelo Russell was our all-star. So I've seen LeVert shine in the playoffs before, and I really wanted to see him get more run. And I just didn't want to play Milwaukee and get swept, because obviously in the playoffs it's going to be a way different story. I'd totally rather play Toronto, where they don't have one player who can like easily get 40 against us. You know what I mean? Like Giannis can get 40 whenever he wants.
I think Toronto would take care of business just as well as Milwaukee, though. But, I mean, it doesn't really make a difference. It's more just playoff experience for the Nets at this point.
I like it. I'd rather play Toronto. I mean, it's that simple. I really would. Not that Toronto would lose to Milwaukee in a series. I just think Milwaukee, you know, I think they'd just destroy us. I feel like we could steal a game on Toronto. I mean, the Magic stole a game on them last year. I don't know. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I get that. Yeah.
But I'm not thinking like we're going to win. I'd rather play them.
Yeah.
I just can't get over the line for that game. Plus 19, or well, the Bucks would be minus 19, right?
Yeah, actually, on a side note, Bucks have not been looking good. I think over their past 10 games, they're like 3-7, which is like, it's absurd considering how historic of a regular season they had prior to that. These past 10 games.
So, really? I still think they look okay. I mean, I don't know. I think it's tough because, you know,
I think I'm seeing a lot of games that are coming down to the, like, they're like,
that's true. A lot of their games
are off games. They're not finishing
They're not up 20 in the third quarter like they were this whole regular season against teams.
The thing is, like, there'd be times that they are up against these teams recently, and like in January they would have extended the lead. It felt like they were a great team, like, with a lead. Now it feels kind of iffy, and I don't know what the reason is for that. But the Bucks do not look like the same team right now.
I still think they'll be okay. And I think this is the last game we missed from the previous podcast, was Suns Clippers.
Yeah, when Devin Booker hit the
shot. That game was crazy. I mean, I don't know what it is with Paul George and having game winners shot in his face, but like, can you think of a player who has had more game winners shot in his face than Paul George?
When he made that shot, I literally just thought of all the times Paul George has had a game winner made in his face.
It's hilarious. And Paul George didn't have the best shooting day that night. D-Book, great game. 35-8, 8 assists, 35 points. Shot above 50%, hit the game winner. And, yeah, the Suns are undefeated in the bubble. The 5-0 Suns. No one expected this. If you look at the standings right now, actually, so we're taping this on a Sunday, and right now it's 5:30. The Pelicans are playing the Spurs right now in a really close game, so that will dictate seeding. Spurs look like they're going to close it out. If you look at the standings right now, again, the Spurs are going to move up by a half a game because they're beating the Pelicans. And by the way, for all you Pelicans fans, like, you're done. It's over. You're not making the playoffs, and you don't deserve it because it doesn't even seem like you guys care about it with Zion playing like 20 minutes a game.
Yeah, I was just going to say it's actually really close between Portland, Phoenix, and San Antonio. I think it's a half game difference right now.
Yeah, so San Antonio is going to move up a half game once this game ends, and they'll be 31-38. So they'll be tied with Portland for the 9 seed right now. And that means, and both teams, Portland and San Antonio, actually, yeah, both teams only have like 3 games left. So it's getting really close. Same with Phoenix.
Yeah, it's absurd that I hear people say Memphis got the worser end of this bubble. I don't think that's true, because Memphis only had to win 2 out of 8 games to remain the 8 seed, I believe. And
yeah, if they win again, I think they have it.
Yeah, and Memphis, you also have a play-in, whereas you wouldn't have that without the bubble. And mm-hmm. you only have to win 1 out of 2 games. So to say that Memphis got shortchanged in the bubble is so irrational at this point, I believe.
You know what I will say, though? I wouldn't say Memphis got the low end. I just think Portland got the high end.
You can make that case.
Because Nurk was done for the season, and now he's just back and better than ever. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's crazy.
That's their third best player. He's their third best player. Like, that matters.
Yeah. It's crazy how good Portland looks. I get that they lost their most recent game, and all of a sudden everyone just like dropped them from like, let's say they were like at a 9.5 out of 10. They just dropped them to like maybe a 7.5.
Literally,
like, don't get
Clippers
it wrong.
The Clippers tried to lose that game. With their crunch time five was Rodney Magruder, Jamichael Green, Landry Shamet. Is it Shamet or Shamet?
Shamet, I think. Oh, yeah, I don't know, right? But I want to say it's Shamet. Yeah.
Landry Shamet, whatever. And I can't remember who else, but it wasn't PG, Kawhi, Lou Will, Pat Bev, Trez. None of their like top guys. And they just won it. By the way, honestly, we can get into this game right now. So Damian, what's it? I'm trying to remember now. Someone hit a 3 for the Clippers. I want to say it was Rodney Magruder to put them up by 1 with not a lot of time left, like almost about 20 seconds left. Damian Lillard has the ball next. He gets to his spot, gets fouled, 2 free throws, misses both free throws. And then I'm sure everyone's seen it, the videos of like Patrick Beverley yelling on the sideline and whatnot. And Damian Lillard hit a shot earlier in the game and like told Patrick Beverley, like, I want you out here. He was like talking trash or whatever. And Lillard missed both free throws and then came back down the very next time they got the ball, down by 3. So they're down by 1. Lillard misses both free throws. They foul the Clippers. Jamichael Green hits both free throws. Portland's down by 3. And then Damian Lillard misses the game-tying 3. And bad ending for Portland. They needed that game, by the way. Really needed that game. Every game is so crucial now.
Yeah, I think I've always thought that Damian Lillard's clutch gene is a bit overblown, just because I'm not so much with the final shot as much as like what you're doing down the stretch of games.
And I agree.
I've always thought that
clutch doesn't define that one shot. It defines everything else and that leading up to it.
Yeah, so people have been saying Damian Lillard is one of the most clutch players in the NBA. I've never bought into that.
And I think he is. I think he does. Like, I think he is really clutch. Because if you remember in that OKC series, he hit a huge layup right before that 3. And, like, no one talks about it because of the 3. that he hit on Paul George again. But I do think he is. It's just he is like multiple famous walk-off buzzer beaters, two in the playoffs, and both were to end the series, one against Houston in like 2014 and one against the OKC Thunder last year. So people see those and like you automatically think it, and I get that. Then it might be a little overblown. I still think he's pretty clutch though.
He's all right. He's like definitely clutch. It's just for the top echelon of players, I wouldn't go as far as saying like, you know, like he's over a guy like,
well,
LeBron or Steph or Kevin or anything.
Yeah, I guess. I guess that's fair. I mean, it's tough because those are like the A-listers of our generation. So
I think I was wrong. I think I was wrong, though. I think the impact he brings on a game is like there's only a handful of guys who defenses really focus on and key in as much as Damian Lillard.
When you talk about like the best 20, 30 players in the league, Steph Curry's one, and Damian Lillard is probably the second best three-point shooter, right?
Yeah.
Just like all things considered, coming off screens, you know, shooting from wherever.
Yeah. I think that what he impacts like the floor so much. Yeah. I think that in terms
you can see it in that Rockets Trailblazers game.
Mm-hmm. In terms of impact, he's definitely top 10, like top 8 maybe, like
you didn't even rank him top 10.
I know because
you want to take that back, right?
I do want to take that back.
Good. Cuz I think if you don't have him top 10, he's like 11th or 12th at the lowest, if that.
I think when I looked like after the season was all said and done for a while and we looked past the hiatus, like right after the hiatus, it was like we forgot a lot of things and like a lot of things just brushed over, and how much Damian Lillard impacted the game was one of them. And then now you're watching the games.
Two of their starters were injured most of the year.
Yeah. And now you're watching the games and you're just like, I knew this. And it's just like, it's something that like you didn't really get until you started to watch the games again.
And they never thought they'd be getting this at a Gary Trent. He looks great.
Yeah. No, I do remember him, like, because I did watch my fair share of Portland games because I was somewhat of a critic. I'm not anymore, though. But
good. No, they're Gary scary. Trent
did have some big games. Like, I don't think he came out of nowhere. I just think, like, he just gained more confidence.
I just don't think they expected what they're getting out of him right now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and this is kind of interesting. Portland has a dilemma. Like, what would you say their crunch time five is? Because I can think of six guys who belong.
Give me yours right now. Who would you put out?
I don't know, but I think the three locks for crunch time are Lillard, McCollum, and Nurkic. And then the other three lurking are Zach Collins, Carmelo, and Gary Trent. Who would you drop out of those last three?
The thing is, sometimes they take out Nurkic when they need a three.
Yeah. I guess they can just shift their lineups when they need a three. Nurk, obviously, when they need defense, Gary Trent, stuff like that.
Yeah, if I had to just roll one out there for the next 5 minutes, I would probably go McCollum, Lillard, Trent. I'd put Nurkic, and then
I feel like you have to put Melo.
I would say I'd put Melo, but just as a decoy. Just for the team's morale. But honestly, I love Melo. He's been clutch, but Melo is still trigger happy.
I completely agree. I'll get texts from friends, and it'll be like, "You see Melo tonight?" And I'll be like, yeah, didn't he shoot like 30%? But like, he hit the game winner, though. He hit a huge three. I'm like, I know, but there's limitations. That's it. Is that fair?
That's completely fair. Like, he's been averaging less points since the hiatus. It's nothing special.
Yeah, I don't think I think it's a little overblown. It's just, to be fair to him, it was ridiculous, I thought. How he couldn't get a job for like 8 months.
I guess. I mean, I think that
I really thought it was ridiculous that he couldn't even be in the league. a team wouldn't even sign him for, like just take a flyer on him. Like, think about it. Portland got him. Any team could have had him. And Portland is, like, he might play their crunch time. I'd say that's a win.
Yeah, no, I just think that because they're winning, he's getting more recognition as a 15-point-per-game guy. But sure. I've always thought, really, like,
with good defenders back.
Yeah, I've always thought, like, people think that certain players are a lot better than they are just because they're on a championship team. Like, a year ago, you would have thought Jordan Bell and Kevon Looney were seriously good key rotation guys. And now they're like, Jordan Bell's out the NBA. Kevon Looney, who knows what happened to him. Like, it's just certain guys.
I think he was injured. I never fell for the Jordan Bell stuff. I never did. I remember he had this one crazy game in Summer League where he had like 20, 10, and 10 with like 5 blocks and 5 steals or something like that. Like some Draymond stat line, you know?
Yeah.
And everyone like freaked out over it.
Yeah, I believe that when you're playing with such great players on a winning team, all of a sudden people just start paying attention to every little thing you do more.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
Except, I believe that Warriors team last year in the finals, half those guys don't belong on an NBA roster. That was the worst supporting cast I've seen for a fun. That supporting cast for Curry for those games without Clay was worse than LeBron's in 07.
After Looney as their, worse than LeBron's in 07? No,
Without Clay? No. Without Clay? Yeah.
Oh, without Clay. It's still a debate because Draymond's that good.
No, because Draymond is that good, but from after Draymond, I don't believe anyone on that team is
even close to scoring threat. What about 2018?
Some of those guys are scoring threats still.
Yeah, when LeBron gives them a wide open three.
No, like you could get fast break points and like you could have guys spot up and you could actually have a team running with that. Like, I don't even believe like you could even have
Yeah, but he didn't have a guy like Iguodala.
I'm saying on
No.
You're talking about 18? 18?
Yeah, like a glue guy. And this is not excluding Kevin Love cuz he was injured for like some of it.
It's just that supporting cast was like, they literally could not score. Like, the thing about Cleveland was they still couldn't do anything with LeBron off the court, but when LeBron was off the court, like, at least it looked like an offense. Like, Golden State didn't even know what they were doing out there. Like, it was just running around, and
He had Clay for most of the games. It was just one game, and then a quarter, or like half a quarter, where he didn't have Clay.
I know, but...
Like, I think that Warriors team with Clay and Draymond has a chance at making the playoffs. That Cavs team without LeBron is, like, the worst, if not second worst team in the league.
It's like taking the Lakers right now and taking off AD. Like, yeah, they have AD, but without AD, that team is absolutely nothing from there on. And that's how I felt about the Warriors last year, except on a worser level.
No, it was kind of crazy, like, who some of their rotation guys were. It was pretty bad. Speaking of the Lakers-Thunder game, the Lakers' offense looked so stagnant in the half court. Even with just Davis, and I get they've clinched the first seed, so I don't think it's as big as a deal as most people. Some people are freaking out. Charles Barkley said that Portland is going to beat them and then go to the finals, right? Charles Barkley said they're going to go to the finals?
Yeah.
Something like that. I still think the Lakers are going to win the first round. I do. But, I mean, after, like, you said it, after AD and LeBron, this team is just bad. This team is really bad. The roster is just a bunch of random parts being, like, super glued together by what is LeBron. And a reason, also, I think Vogel has done a great job with it, just consider how far they've been, LeBron and AD. But the reason why I wasn't as concerned in the first place is just because they were winning. Like, let's take all this into account. Before the hiatus and before coronavirus and the pandemic hit, let's just recount what happened. So in the span of 2 weeks before that, the Lakers beat Boston, the other LA team, the Clippers, and Milwaukee. And by all accounts, the best team in the league. Everyone was saying LeBron the best player of the year. This is when serious buzz was being drummed for LeBron for MVP and what have you. And then their momentum just gets shot down with this pandemic, and they don't look like the same team, honestly. And I get it's different. Their urgency may have cooled off. And again, they beat the Clippers like a week ago. So let's not overreact. But just, I mean, do you think it's a championship roster? Because I don't.
I don't. I hate to. I'm starting to look like the more I look into it,
I definitely thought it was. Definitely thought it was.
Same. And now I don't think so. I don't think it is a championship roster just because.
Yeah. Oh my God.
You've got to have LeBron and Anthony Davis carry you the whole time. And my problem is that Anthony Davis isn't that guy that people think he is. That's how I feel.
You might be onto something. We'll see in the playoffs, because I still think he is. I still think he could be awesome. But the Thunder dismantled them. And again, I don't think they were trying as hard. The Lakers, they were just experimenting with lineups. CP3 played a great game, and also Chris Paul's yelling in games because it's so loud with no fans. It's hilarious.
Who do you Chris have Paul's coming yelling? Out the West right now.
Oh, man. Well, let's just say this. Right now, where the seeding is, if the Lakers do make it, they're going through a freaking gauntlet. Okay.
I don't think that. See, as much as I am a supporter of the Lakers, I would much rather play the Blazers over Dallas.
Really? I'm not there. I'm not there yet. And I know Dallas looked amazing against Milwaukee last night, but I'm not there yet.
Here's the thing. Memphis, I still think Memphis is probably making the playoffs.
Well, if I were the Lakers, I'd be praying they do. I would want any other team than Portland, just because seeing what those guys did, Dame and CJ, in the playoffs last year was phenomenal, and I wouldn't want to play that. But let's just say Portland does make it, right? And I think it's very realistic. Is that a gauntlet? They get Portland first round. They were in the Western Conference Finals last year. Let's say they get Houston second round. I think the 4-5 is Houston, OKC. So let's say they get Houston next round. Houston made the Western Conference Finals 2 years ago, and the only team to beat them in the last 2 years in the playoffs, 2 or 3 years, is Golden State. They get Houston in the next round, and then they get the Clippers in the Conference Finals. It's not a gauntlet. Portland, Houston, Clippers. I think those three teams could be, debatably three of the top five teams in the West.
I mean, if you look at the Clippers, it's going to be what? Dallas, Denver, and then...
I'd way rather get Dallas and Denver.
I can't go there. I will say this, though. I think that...
I don't know. I think Portland's really good, and I think Houston, if they just hit a bunch of threes, are one of the most dangerous teams in the league.
I've got the Thunder. I think that the Denver, best team in the West.
You have the Thunder?
Yeah.
So you think Thunder are going to beat them? Let's say they get that series, because Utah is 6 right now. If the 4-5 is Houston, Thunder, Thunder?
I think it goes to 7. You're talking about between Thunder and Rockets?
Yeah, Thunder Rockets. What were you thinking of?
I think Oklahoma City can take care of that in 6. I think with the Lakers,
I love it. I just said I'm not a gambling man. I'll bet on that series with you. If we get that, I'll bet on that series with you.
I mean, I might have better odds going on FanDuel. All
right, whatever. I'll hold you to it.
Yeah. No, I'm looking at the Thunder. They're a well-coached team.
The West is stacked, man. It's not that... It's just such a gauntlet for the Lakers or any team, but just being where they were in March and now where they are now is a little concerning. To be honest, I don't know who I have coming out right now. I don't.
When we get Kevin Durant and Steph Curry and Klay Thompson back next year, I think we're going to have the most talent in the league we've seen ever.
Was this not my point on the Dream Team podcast?
I was debating more the collection of guys, though.
I know, but I was just saying that the league is just way more talented now. You would agree with that?
Yeah.
It just is.
I guess, yeah.
Think about when we did our top 10. Think about it. You're going to have to leave two guys off that with KD and Steph coming back. You're going to have to take two out. I don't know who I could take out. Honestly.
Yeah.
We'll see when it happens, but... And again, this is something... LeBron-led teams have flipped the switch. I can't even count how many times. So if I have to die on that hill, I will. Because I've just seen LeBron's... I've seen them switch this... I mean, remember this in 2017? When the Cavs, like, had a horrible March and they finished out the season, like, 23-23? In 2017... Everyone's like, is Cleveland getting back to the finals? Who knows? And they lost one game en route to it.
No, like, I think people have to realize that LeBron still has a playoff mode. And LeBron has taken care of business in the first and second round his whole career.
Yeah, so, like up by 30 in the first half taking care of business.
So if the over-under for games is like anything less than
11.5.
Anything more than 4.5, I'm slamming it. Because I think the Lakers are taking this 4 or 5 games. Like, I don't care who's in the 8th spot.
If they go 6 with Portland, oof.
They're not going 6 with Portland.
Right? They can't. There's no way.
I could see a bunch of close games.
Yeah.
But
at the end of the day, I think we both agree with this. The Lakers are the 2 best players on the floor.
Yeah. I don't know. I'd say as of right now, no, I can't say Lillard has been playing better than Anthony Davis. No, I won't say that, but I think that Anthony Davis needs to just step up his game. Because
if they want to win a championship, you're right.
Might be the most passive top echelon player.
I don't think they're trying right now. You remind me of, I don't. They clinched the 1 seed. I really don't think they're trying anymore. I think they're just like, you know, just trying different lineups. I don't want to criticize them too much for what I've seen in the last 2 games.
You know when Draymond Green said that every time Joel Embiid takes a jump shot, you're bailing out the defender?
Oh, yeah.
I feel somewhat the same way about Anthony Davis when I watched the Lakers games. When he takes a jump shot...
Embiid, though.
I think he's a way better shooter than Embiid. But I still think that at the rim, you've got to be there. And he's being lazy at times, not getting positioning. He's settling for shots instead of working in positioning to get to the basket.
Yeah. So one of the next games was Nuggets Spurs. And honestly, the Spurs have been so fun to watch. They've been playing, I think, way differently than what they're normally at. They look like a different team, honestly, the Spurs do.
Imagine the Spurs carry on their playoff streak.
Yeah, I mean, the streak is since 1999, right?
Yeah. I'm not going to lie, if I had to bet on one team to win 2 straight against Memphis, it'd be San Antonio. Oh. Crazy as it sounds.
Oh, interesting. So wait, I have a question for you.
I think coaching matters the most in winning 2 straight games against a team because the first game you played, you've seen it all, and you had to make adjustments. And I think Popovich will do that better than Monty Williams and Terry Stotts.
And in that Nuggets game, can't talk right now. Jokic had another great game, and Michael Porter Jr. again got 30. So that's gonna be big for them. You're right. If Denver can get Michael Porter Jr., like if they can get his ceiling, then they might be the 3rd best team in the West.
Denver has to put MPJ in the starting lineup now.
Right?
Or else they're not getting anywhere. I mean,
that's what it seems like.
I don't like Denver because I think that they're too... I don't think they have any reason to be confident, so they aren't as confident. And I just don't think that you have...
Me, personally, I just think they're a regular season team. Like, the way that team is designed.
Really? Because their team is really slow-paced, and I think that works in the playoffs.
I just the way they run their rotations. Like what is Denver's crunch time 5? I have no idea.
I know that's my main problem with them. They don't have.
I have no idea what their crunch time 5 is gonna look like. I can think of 3 players who I know will be on the court in crunch time. Honestly, maybe even just 2.
Yeah.
And Jamal Murray and Jokic. If Will Barton is healthy, he should be a lock for it. But then who else? Would you have Millsap and Torrey Craig? Then where's Michael Porter Jr. going to go? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Gary Harris. There's like, I don't know what it's going to look like.
No, but when MPJ's on the floor, that team has looked good solely because, not solely, but mostly because of MPJ.
Yeah, he's great.
Let's talk about the Pacers really quick, though. I just want to get into the Pacers.
You get new TJ Warren stuff.
Do you still not think that the Pacers are a championship contender?
No, I don't think that. I know that. I know they're not a championship contender.
What do they lack?
A top 20 player.
TJ Warren, is it that?
Come on.
In the bubble, he is that. Right now, he is a top 20 player. And I really believe that TJ Warren, this is the making of a star / superstar. We're seeing the come up. We're seeing it happen.
I ranked him higher, but you are overreacting so much right now. Understand, right?
I'm not overreacting. I think
he's had like 5 great games, and you think he's going to be a superstar?
Star / superstar. I think we're witnessing the come up of.
You think he's making the leap?
Yes.
I agree on that.
No, I think it's happening right before our eyes.
What good team have they played besides the Lakers that they've beaten? What really good team have they beaten besides the Lakers? Please. The
Sixers?
Oh, come on. Did Ben Simmons play that game?
Yes. He dropped all his points on Ben Simmons. What are we talking about?
I don't think the Sixers. I mean, they're the 6th seed. And we both think they're losing in the first round. What second round? Like, what top 10 team have they beaten?
You had them as a high upside team, so. You had them as a championship contender. But my thing is that the Pacers don't lack anything. You've got 5 scoring threats on the floor. You've got interior defense.
You're talking about Philly, yeah, my bad.
No, I'm talking about the Pacers. You got 5 scoring threats on the floor. Interior defense. You've got a go-to clutch time score too. And all good 3-point shooters all around. Brogdon, Oladipo.
They're not winning the playoffs. They're not.
Look, let's say they take down Miami, right?
Fine. Yeah.
They're beating Milwaukee? No, they will beat Miami. And I believe that in a bubble scenario,
Beating Milwaukee. Just stop. You don't think that's really happening. You don't. Come on now. You're just
How about hoping. This? What if we get back onto Sabonis?
No. Still no. I don't care who's on your team. I don't care who.
Just because we're Indiana. Is that
Bro, you're acting like I do think you could actually beat Miami. I don't think like everyone's saying Miami in 5 or 4. No, that's not true. But I think there's no way you beat Milwaukee. No way. If you're in the conference finals, I'll be shocked, but no way. I think
we also match up pretty well in Milwaukee, too.
Who's guarding Giannis?
Miles Turner? Honestly, I think Milwaukee is a lesser of a team in the playoffs, and I don't think people understand that. Because of how great they are on the fast break, and because of Giannis's inability.
What round were they in last year? What round they lose in last year?
Eastern Conference Finals?
Oh, okay. Where did Indiana lose? Oh, first round.
I think the East has gotten better this year, though. And yeah, I think Indiana has definitely looked better this year.
Yeah, I think Milwaukee looks better. I think Chris Middleton looks way better. I really do.
I think Brogdon also has some insight on to stop Giannis. He said he did. And look, you're going to call me crazy because he said that he did. But we've also heard all the Pacers guys say before the first game out of the restart that TJ Warren has expanded his range and he has looked like the best player on the Pacers. And no one believed it until it happened. I'm just saying that, listen,
if anything, I believed it more than, bro, you didn't even rank him in your top 40 and now he's top 20? How does that happen? 5 games, you have him in your top 20? Don't be a prisoner of the moment.
I think that we're watching the makings of a star.
The moment's got you in a straitjacket right now. You're so falling for this.
You don't think TJ Warren is capable of averaging 24, 25 a game?
25?
Yeah.
On a really good team.
Pacers are a really good team.
to me, a really like a, to me like a really good team is like second round, unless you're playing like
we're second round. You've also got to realize that we've been we're a hot team. We're 4 in the bubble. Would be 5-0 if we didn't give up a 17-0 and 21-0 run to the Suns. And I also want to say that we have
them Suns are on fire.
Well, our core has only been to get this is the first year. Brogdon's first year. Oladipo came back off injury.
Aaron Holiday's in the starting lineup. Championship contender. You're like making my point.
Yeah, I think we are a contender.
What?
I don't think there's anything we lack.
I just said a top 20 player.
TJ Warren is that right now.
Top 15.
TJ Warren is that right now.
No. Top 10?
I won't go that. But you cannot deny that he's been. He had 53 against Ben Simmons and 39 against Anthony Davis.
I mean, DeMar DeRozan played really well against Ben Simmons, but you didn't care.
Ben Simmons wasn't guarding him primarily.
He fouled him out. He fouled him out.
He fouled him out at the end. I watched that game, first of all.
Like the third quarter.
No, I'm saying like he wasn't making all those fouls on Ben Simmons. It was like at like towards the back end of his fouls.
All right, so who was Ben Simmons guarding? Patty Mills?
I wasn't paying attention to who he was. I don't just watch Ben Simmons, but
either way, you're just overreacting on TJ Warren. And it's do you honestly think you're a championship roster? You're delusional. You really think that?
I think that. You don't think that?
So, where do you guys rank? Are you a top 5 team in the league?
Let me see.
No.
You got Milwaukee, LA, Toronto,
Boston.
I think we're number I think we're number 6 or 7. I would say either I'd say OKC and then us.
So you're the 7th best team in the league.
Yeah.
Is that a championship contender? I don't think it is.
We usually have around 7 championship contenders.
No, we don't.
In a bubble, I would say yeah. In this environment.
No, we have there are 5 teams in the league right now that could realistically win a championship.
Is it really absurd to call the Pacers a top 7 team, though?
Now you're like mincing words. So you're the 4th best team in the East, and you think you're a championship contender, right? You're the 4th best team in the East, and you think you're a championship contender. Come on now, you don't think that?
Because I think that with the East, like anyone. I don't know if anyone can beat anyone, but it's a lot less unpredictable. Because you don't have a team in the East that is just so stacked that regardless of what happens, Towns is going to win out.
I think Boston's that healthy. I think Boston's that stacked. And I think Toronto and Milwaukee, all those teams are just better than you guys. Like, it's no disrespect against the Pacers, but like, who am I going to bet on? Giannis and Chris Middleton or Malcolm Brogdon and TJ Warren?
Look, I get, bet on
Tatum,
get
Brown
that.
And Kemba or Oladipo and Turner. You know what I'm saying?
I get that, but we talked about like how the bubble is kind of like AAU, and it really is about who's hot at the right time. And right now, the Pacers are the hottest team in the East.
So I would still say the Celtics are. I still think the Celtics are a hotter team than them. How many games have the Celtics lost in the bubble? One.
I think they've lost. Let me see. They lost to
Miami.
Miami.
That's it.
No, they lost to somebody else too.
They just destroyed Toronto. They were like up 30 in the second quarter.
Did they lose? They didn't lose to Portland. No, right?
Nope. They finished that game out.
And they lost to Milwaukee to start actually in the first game.
Oh, that's right. They did. You're right. They lost to Milwaukee. But Kemba only played like 15 minutes, and they barely lost. And again, Tatum had like the worst game of his career. So you lost to Phoenix. They're not losing to Phoenix, like under any circumstance. I can tell you that.
You're really underrating how – like you're really underrating the
I'm
fact
not.
That
– I'm not. I'm just telling you that they're the 4th best team in the East, maybe even 5th with Miami.
Look, no, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying you're underrating the fact that when a team gets hot – in this kind of environment without travel and stuff like all this kind of all these other factors, if a team is hot, they're going to prevail despite not being a better team.
So now you're just hoping you get hot. Like, I hope the Nets get hot. Now you're
we are hot.
Now you're not even relying on talent. You're just saying, I hope we get hot because we're not the best team.
Are we not hot right now? We have the best record out of Phoenix in the bubble.
I mean, how many games has Toronto lost? Only one, right?
Yeah.
Okay. You guys lost one game too. And they lost to Boston. You lost to Phoenix.
Phoenix is undefeated.
Oh, my God. Are you serious? Is Phoenix better than Boston?
I mean, have you seen how they've been playing? I'm telling you, this isn't my argument that they're better. My argument is that when you're hot, you can win, despite not being a better team.
I get that, but if you're a championship team, you shouldn't have to rely on if you get hot. And we got to move on.
I'm not saying they rely on it. I'm just saying it can happen.
Well, and I'm telling you it's not. Kings-Pelicans. Let me get into my De'Aaron Fox thing. Because I know Steven isn't the biggest fan of De'Aaron Fox. Look, for everyone listening, De'Aaron Fox, if you're out there, you want to talk about bubble TJ Warren? Let's talk about bubble De'Aaron Fox. Can we for a second? Let's just look at De'Aaron Fox's stats in the bubble. Let me just pull him up real quick. He's so good. Very honestly, De'Aaron Fox is very CP-like, where he kind of just navigates. He's not the same player, obviously not as good as CP, but where he like kind of navigates in traffic, and just no matter what, he'll just get his shot off at the elbow. Like no matter what, he's getting the shot off, and he normally makes it in the bubble. Fox averages 26 points a game, 7 assists, 50% from the field, playing great defense. I mean, he takes smart shot selection. He's shooting threes, like, and that looks better. And he's just a MF-er who's going to compete every night, really cares. And I think he's a leader, even though Bogdan Bogdanovic is their second best player right now. He's been on fire lately. And just everything I see Fox doing, I love watching him play. I'd love it if we had the Nets, but we have like 30 guards. He just looks so comfortable on the floor. He looks like he's been in the league for 10 years. It doesn't make any sense. He just has a remarkable feel for the game out of any young guy on the court that I've seen. He's the best guy on the court, and he was in this Kings-Pelicans game. And everyone was saying before the bubble, oh, Pelicans are going to easy. Who even cares? Why are the Kings even coming back? And it's like De'Aaron Fox, his roster compared to the Pelicans, not even close in talent. But somehow he was the best player on the floor. How'd that happen?
I mean.
So if you want to talk about teams getting hot, do you think Phoenix will make noise in the playoffs? So if they stay hot and win out, and they get the 8th seed, do you think they're going to stay hot and make noise in the playoffs?
The difference is they can't pick up momentum by being a 4 seed. They're not playing a 4 or 5 seed. They're going to play the 1 seed right at the bat.
I mean, Miami's so good, and then you get Milwaukee. Either way, I think De'Aaron Fox has been great, and I think people are really underrating how he's been playing. Like, no one cares, but the only reason the Kings are even remotely in the run still is because of De'Aaron Fox. Buddy Hield doesn't even play a lot. Bagley's hurt. Like, this is just De'Aaron.
I get that. I think Miami's a bit overrated, though. But we'll see what...
But Duncan Robinson's your guy.
He is my guy, but Jimmy Butler's not my guy. And you don't like Jimmy.
Well, Bam. No, we like Bam.
No, we do like Bam. But I think Bam has limitations against the Pacers. Specifically that matchup.
Well, we'll see. By the way, did you catch that 76ers-Wizards game?
What about it?
It was the game that – I just thought it was funny because it was the game that put the Wizards in the 10th seed behind Charlotte. With whatever math like they do for the playoffs, they dropped the 10th seed. So now they're behind the Hornets. The Hornets have a better chance of making it.
And that was also the game Ben Simmons got injured.
That was also the game Ben Simmons got injured.
Yeah. No, I think the Wizards could potentially drop to 13 or 12.
It's unfair they don't have Bradley Beal or Bertans, but I think they were the one team that absolutely no one cared about them coming back. Like, yeah. Even as a Nets fan, I wasn't even remotely scared of them getting within just four games.
I think they're a better team than people give them credit for. I think, like, the other teams...
With Beal like, and Bertans.
Like, if you got Charlotte, Chicago, New York, Detroit, Minnesota, like, I put my money on the Wizards to beat them.
I think Detroit healthy has a chance.
But no, I don't think that.
You think a healthy... They're the playoffs last year, healthy.
Yeah, but I still think
I think Blake has really expanded his game. I think I really do. I think he's been great. I only mentioned that game because of the Ben Simmons injury. As someone who ranked Ben Simmons in his top 10, number 9 to be exact, I need a play-by-play of your reaction when you found out Ben Simmons was getting surgery. And they haven't provided a timetable, but I think it's safe to say he's probably done if he's getting surgery.
I was relieved. Because maybe we might see him out of Philly, that horrible situation.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's...
This will come down to it, but I don't think... If they get Boston first round, Philly, there's no way they come out of the first round. No way. And it's kind of crazy where we thought they were coming into this season and just how high everyone was on Philly. And now it's all cratered. And I still think that roster's really good. They just got to figure it out.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say it's going to be a complete blowout with Boston and Philly, but yeah, I think Boston will just take care of business pretty easily. And I think that really clears the path for Boston to just make the finals.
Yeah, and Kemba's been playing more minutes like as each game goes on, so that's definitely a better sign. Also, something I thought was interesting about this, about all these East teams in that Bucks Heat game. Again, I know you're not high on the Heat, but I'm pretty sure the Bucks are like 0-3 against them.
They were 0-2 going into the game.
0-2, my bad. 0-2 going into the game. No Jimmy Butler, and it didn't even seem to matter really. Miami's just so deep, and Middleton looked great in that game. I thought Giannis. I mean, for all it's worth, I thought Crowder and Bam. I thought they played pretty good defense on him, at least in the first half, but Giannis still ended up with an amazing game. I just think Miami has dudes to throw at him, and I think that's going to be big, especially if they match up in the second round with Miami at the 4 spot and Milwaukee at the 1. I think this team's really deep. Did you see Tyler Herro who did they play in that Suns Heat game? He had like almost a triple-double, and... The Suns still won. Devin Booker has been on fire.
I just want to say that
he seems Miami, determined.
That Miami Bucks matchup just perfectly exemplifies the fact that the better team doesn't always win. Just because,
just
like
regular season.
You don't think that Miami could give them a scare? I don't think Miami's even getting there.
Wait,
but
you were just off on Miami, and now you think they could beat the one seed?
I'm just saying it shows that matchups. Matchups can play a factor despite someone having the better team, which is why I think Boston can beat Milwaukee. I think Milwaukee's the better team.
Well, I think that so you think something crazy could happen in the bubble. That's what you're saying.
Yeah.
See, I mean, I'm not there. I'm not there yet. I still think
crazy about what I've
great teams will take care of business.
What's been crazy about what I've been saying? Like I have Indiana coming out of that series. I think Indiana has a real shot to take Milwaukee to 7 and potentially beat them.
Who's the favorite in Pacers Bucks?
The Bucks.
Okay, so that's not as bad then. Because I feel like you were just trying to make a case for the Pacers to be in the ship. And I think you were just trying to like talk yourself into it. Like the Pacers.
Well, contender being a championship contender does not mean that you're just like, I think we've been so...
I think like, a contender is a top 5 team in the league.
I think we've just seen the Warriors and Cavs in the finals so much that, like, contender is just so hard for us to really believe. Like, a contender is a team that has a real shot at being in the championship.
And I think the Pacers have a good shot? See, I think they have, like, less than a 10% chance.
I don't know if someone
maybe less than five.
A good shot as a real shot. Like, just the
what
fact
would you
that
say their percentage? What's the percentage, the chance? What's their chances?
10%.
Oh, so what do you mean? Like, that's nothing.
That's a real shot. 10%?
I think it's less than 10%. I think it's like 5. Maybe 3.
I give them a 10% chance. I give Boston about like maybe 40. And then
yeah,
like 25.
I'd say Milwaukee, Toronto's yeah, like 30-30.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, that's what I think it is. And then 40-30-30. And then leave an extra 1% for like whoever's left.
Yeah. What else did I want to talk about? What did you want to talk about?
There's a lot of games I still want to get through. Just, and about that, not the Miami game. Again, Miami won that game, right, against the Bucks, and that was part of why you were concerned about the Bucks.
No, Milwaukee won.
Oh, no, Milwaukee won. That's right. My bad.
Yeah, it wasn't so much that I was concerned. I still think Milwaukee would beat Miami in a series.
Yeah,
I
my
just
bad.
Think
the game was
it
really
shows.
Close.
I just think it shows that like matchups play a big role.
And again, Jimmy didn't play, and I thought that really hurt in the fourth quarter in a big game like that, just for not having a guy Jimmy Butler on the court. Because the Bucks just took over in that fourth quarter, and honestly, they looked terrifying.
Here's the thing that
they just totally shifted the pace where that game was going. It was back and forth the whole game. Even Miami had the slight edge, and then Milwaukee was like, "All right, we're done playing," and they just eviscerated them in the fourth quarter.
Miami is a terrible clutch team, so I don't like them.
Yeah. By the way, did you see when Aaron Gordon called Lowry? Basically, Aaron Gordon called Kyle Lowry the B word.
Oh, I saw that. I saw that.
Patrick Papich's game, and then Lowry said, "quote unquote, 836 my room number." That's it. 836 my room number. He basically was telling him like, "Yo, like, come down to my room if you bout it." We'll get updates on that story if Aaron Gordon ever decides to show. You think he will? I don't think so.
No. But I also wanted to go back to the Pacers really quick.
Oh boy.
Like,
no, go ahead.
I get TJ Warren's been great, but Aaron Holiday and Goga Batadze have looked really solid too.
You know, I like the Pacers. Like, you're turning me into someone like, who's not favoring the Pacers. I just think you're being a little biased because it's your team, and I think you're ecstatic with what's going on with with TJ Warren, and you should be because TJ Warren's been amazing so far. But I don't think what you think he's a lock. Like, how many All Star teams do you think he'll make for the rest of his career? Over 5?
I think 5. No, I think three. I think he's gonna have a short peak, but
he's good. He's good, no, but
I really think that
it's hard to make the All-Star game.
There's a handful of guys in NBA history who just break out for like 2-3 years, just
yeah,
as a sport. And I think he's one of those guys. And
it
I don't
like
think
in that Pacers Lakers game. I'll tell you that much.
There's not a shot he can't make over anyone.
He looked great. And honestly, in that Pacers-Lakers game, Oladipo and Brogdon also had great games, I thought.
Yeah, Aaron Holiday was great too.
I thought Oladipo has looked much better.
No, Aaron Holiday is the unsung hero of this team. He played great defense on LeBron on the perimeter. I was so surprised. He had
seven. Still kind of like doing what he wanted though.
Yeah, he had 7 points on 3-for-3 shooting, 6 rebounds, 7 assists, 3 steals. Like,
that's the perfect game for a role guy. Perfect.
Yeah.
Literally the perfect game.
I want to say he plays the 3 right now. And he's been doing it well.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that you've got Holiday, Oladipo, and Brogdon, all great perimeter defenders. Warren is usually guarding the best wing defender. I mean, best wing guy.
Yeah. And he'll probably be on Jimmy.
Yeah, I think you've got 5 scoring threats and 5 good defenders on the Pacers team, which is why I think that they're a championship contender. Like, how many teams can you say you have 5 scoring threats and 5 defenders?
I think you could say about a lot of teams, actually.
Like who? I'm saying as their starting five, like.
Oh, as your starting five?
Or even Clippers. a crunch time unit.
I think you said about the Clippers.
Who the Clippers have?
As their five?
Yeah.
Kawhi and PG.
Oh no, Shred. the Clippers are there. Yeah. Yeah.
I definitely think you said about Toronto and Boston.
Toronto, do they have five scoring? Yeah, they do. Okay. Yeah, Toronto. Seven. Boston, yeah.
I think you can make the case for Milwaukee too. Definitely five defenders.
See, that's where I wouldn't go there. They've got five defenders, but five scoring threats. I don't know about that.
Wait, who's the Pacers' five scoring threats?
Aaron Holiday, TJ Warren.
Oh, we're counting Aaron Holiday. Then I can count Wes Matthews.
Aaron Holiday's been dropping 15 a game in the bubble. And he's also been averaging like six, seven assists. Like, let's not get it twisted. He's really, you're on this.
I think you're too high on like just how a team is playing in the bubble.
I don't think you've watched enough Pacers games this bubble.
I really have. I just, again, like, name me the great team they've beat. Besides, I get the Lakers, but they're already the one seed.
And the Sixers.
They're not even taking it seriously.
The Lakers and the Sixers.
Right now, they only have Ben Simmons. And as great as their roster is, like, they've just underperformed. They barely beat the Spurs a few games ago. And
who?
The Sixers.
Oh, I mean,
they weren't a buzzer beater, and then they barely beat the Magic. And I was rooting for Philly so hard because I need the Magic to lose these games for the Nets to move up. But I don't think the Sixers have been great either. So
we gave Bron his first loss when he dropped 30. Oh,
God. Here you go.
No, but to say Aaron Holiday isn't a scoring threat is like the
ultimate. He's good, but has he played a single minute of playoff basketball?
His whole game is I'm only a scoring threat at first. So now it's not.
You think he'll comfortably score like 15 a game in the playoffs? Comfortably.
Yeah. No, I don't think he will score 15 a game because I think that in the playoffs it just the scoring would just go down overall. But he drops 15 and I'm not surprised. The ceiling of your team
without like a megastar is very short, and the last team to do something like that without a megastar were the Pistons in 04.
If TJ Warren hasn't been a megastar so far, then I don't know who it is.
Trae Young was like a megastar for five games. Are we saying he's
no? TJ Warren has had the highest plus minus in the bubble. He's actually impacting winning.
Look, can I make the case TJ Warren is way better teammates than Trae Young? And Trae Young's second best player was out for the first 25 games. No, I'm just saying, we still gotta see. You know, I'm not gonna buy into this yet. But tell me a shot
TJ Warren can make, and tell me a guy who can guard TJ Warren.
I think Giannis will have a good chance of locking him up.
So he just demolished AD and Simmons, but Giannis all of a sudden just
Giannis is defensive player of the year.
I want to say TJ Warren put buckets on Giannis earlier this season, too.
I want to say that you're going to maybe get to the second round, but I just don't think that's going to happen.
Let me look at the Milwaukee. He put up 35 against Milwaukee in February. We won that game. Let me see another Milwaukee game.
You're ridiculous. I can't wait till you guys lose in the first round.
And then we put up 15 in November, and we lost that. He put up 15, we lost that game. But we were missing. Who are we missing in that game? We missed Brogdon and Oladipo. So I don't know.
Like, you got an excuse for everything.
We were missing Brogdon, Oladipo, Lamb, McConnell. Wow, that's our whole backcourt right there.
I don't know how I have to spell it out for you. You're not beating the Bucks in the playoffs. I can tell you that pretty confidently.
When it happens...
Take that information as you will.
When it happens, I'll be the first person you call.
Alright. I want a FaceTime from you as soon as the buzzer sounds and you beat the Bucks in like five games. Because that will never happen.
Five is a stretch, but I really think that we have... Five scoring threats and five good defenders is not an understatement. And I think, like...
Can I say Portland has that? five good scoring threats and five good defenders?
No, because I don't think they have the fifth defender.
I think they do.
Melo?
No, Trent. Or are you counting Trent?
I am counting Trent. That's four. Yeah,
I'm trying to think. Yeah, probably not, actually. You know, that's a good point, but one team is Damian Lillard and the other doesn't. So that's why I would think Portland's better than you guys, honestly.
TJ Warren can give me a bucket down the stretch better than Damian Lillard can.
Oh, come on.
No. I'm standing by that 100%.
No, that's not true. No, come on.
Have you watched TJ Warren's game?
You just erased all the respect you just gave Lillard. It's gone now. It's all gone. You're right back to where you started.
We need to make a top 10 list after the championship.
Yeah, when we do our All-NBA teams.
Our top 25.
And I can guarantee, when we do our All-NBA teams, I can guarantee you Damian Lillard will rank higher than TJ Warren.
I'm going to try to find every stat to slip TJ Warren in there.
Yeah, whatever. No, you're not realistically going to do that. But you can have honorable mentions, by the way, for our All-NBA teams. Like, I had a few honorable mentions for 2019. I just didn't say in the podcast.
Yeah. No, but realistically, Pacers are like one of five teams to have five scoring threats and five good defenders.
I never thought about that. That's actually a good point.
Yeah.
Because the Lakers don't have that. The Lakers have three scoring threats? No, Kuzma. Yeah. Do they have four, though?
No.
I mean, like a get their own type of shot guy? I don't think they have that.
I would say the Rockets would, but Westbrook has been playing horrible defense as of late. So
Rockets is a good one. I think the Rockets have that.
No, Westbrook's defense is—it's just like,
they're starting five. It can't be a bench guy as a defender.
Like I'm talking, like you run out of crunch time unit or you're starting five. But like I'm saying, Westbrook.
Honestly, the Clippers might not even have that because Lou Will's not a great defender.
Oh, that's true.
And is Patrick? I guess Patrick Beverley is sort of a scoring threat. Not, like, no, he's not.
What the Pacers have is what every coach looks for. Like, when coaches drop crunch time units, the two things they literally look for is, can this guy score a bucket, or can this guy and also, can this guy shoot, and then also, can this guy defend? And that's the Pacers right there.
Well, even without Westbrook, the Rockets still were able to handle the Lakers.
Yeah, I guess.
No LeBron, but Harden had ridiculous game. His stat lines are crazy. His stat line for that game was 39 points, 8 rebounds, 12 assists, shot above 50, and he looked ridiculous. I love how James has looked.
Harden's playing the Kings tonight.
I think Harden looks great.
Mark it down as 50 for Harden.
Also, something I'm noticing, just, you know, in the bubble, all these Maverick games, I feel like Luka and Porzingis will put up crazy stat lines. And again, Milwaukee's the exception, so this is kind of like a bad example. But with the exception of the Milwaukee game, I feel like I look at all these box scores for the Mavericks games, and I'm watching these games, and Luka and Porzingis are, you know, like really getting theirs and playing well, but they always lose. And I thought it was totally apparent in that Clippers game. Like, watching that Clippers-Mavericks game, I was just thinking to myself, like, for as good as the Mavericks have been this year, they're just – like the Clippers are just way better. Like, they're not going to win that. I think they have no chance.
My thing with the Mavericks is, like, what, they lost in double OT versus Houston. They definitely should have won that game. I think anyone could have said that.
They blew that game. They blew that game.
And that Phoenix game, they lost by two. Like, those games just, like, go a little bit in their favor. We're talking they have a 4-1 record, and everyone's slamming the Mavericks right now.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, I'm still with the Mavericks.
I mean, I would be too, but like if they were a four seed, which they should be, but Luka got hurt, so it sucks that they dropped so much.
I hate the matchup too, but
it's horrible. The Clippers first round, that's not fun. Yeah, I mean, the West, honestly, at this point, to me now, it's a toss-up. I don't know who. We do our playoff brackets. Obviously, I'll have to pick some team, but
I don't know. I said that earlier.
Right now, I don't know who to pick.
I think the West is honestly a literal toss-up.
I said that. What I said was, I think I said this Oh, this is what I said. I said if PG is playing like that, on our first podcast we did the NBA's back one with the season coming back. I want to assess this. I said if PG is playing like that, the Clippers-Lakers are a toss-up. Remember when PG had that great game?
Well, I could still see OKC, Houston, Dallas, all being there if things go perfect. And Portland. I would say that.
Portland is so fun. They're one of my favorite watches in the league. Did you see that Nuggets Trailblazers game?
I did, yeah.
Great. That was really fun. Lillard torched them. 45 points, 12 assists.
Did you see the Nuggets Jazz game?
The double OT one? Oh, I have. And I thought it was. The Nuggets are always in these games. I thought the Nuggets were in a game similar like that to the Thunder. Or was it. Was it the Nuggets? I'm pretty sure it was the Nuggets. Where they just hang in with whoever they're playing. And you could see in that Jazz game, because I was watching that first half, and the Jazz were like up like 20 at one point in that second quarter. George Niang was hitting like all his shots. The Jazz were just clicking, but the Nuggets just stay in. They stay in the game, stay in the game. And they eventually push it to overtime. Jokic pushed it to the first overtime or second. I can't remember because there was just so much going on in that game. And it was just such a war of attrition. And you saw it in that Thunder game. Where the Thunder and Jazz just totally let it slip to the Nuggets. Because yeah. The Nuggets just stayed in. I find it interesting how kind of like whoever the Nuggets play with, they always like they never get blown out. You know what I mean?
No, I see what you're talking about, yeah.
I feel like they don't get blown out a lot. I feel like they're always in the game. And you could totally see in that Jazz game. So many teams would have just folded, but the Nuggets just like, so many teams would just fold it and be like, ah, we'll get him next time. But the Nuggets just kept in, especially without Will Barton still, because that was Jamal Murray's first game back. And they looked great. Jokic had a terrible first half, ended the game like a triple-double, 30 points.
Yeah, I just want to say about the Jazz, like, this roster just looks like any other year, it would be a really good roster.
You know what? I was thinking about this. I think they might be the worst playoff team in the West.
No. I can't go there.
Besides the 8th seed. I'm saying like if Portland gets in. But let's say, besides the 8th seed, what team is worse than them? Not OKC. Not LA. Not Denver.
Maybe Denver.
I don't think... Oh, you think Denver's worse than them? No, I think Denver... I think that proved Denver's better than them. Without Will Barton, even having that horrible first half that Jokic have, still got it done. And Gobert looked great in that first half against Jokic. But, nah, come on. You think they're better than the Nuggets?
I don't know, but if the Jazz are the worst team in the West, that's crazy. Because, look, you've got literally, like...
I really think they might be the worst team without Bogdanovic. They really might be. And it's so unfair to them because I think they're a really good team. It's just the West is loaded. It's loaded.
I guess. I mean...
So many teams can come out, honestly.
Man, that Jazz team is good, though.
They are, but everyone else is good. Like, wait, LA, no shot, right? They're not better than them.
No.
And I think Davis proved it when he dropped 42 on them. OKC, no. Right? OKC, no.
No.
They're not better than them. Houston? I'd say Houston's better than them. They don't want to see Houston. That's a terrible matchup for them.
Why? I think it's the other way around. Houston doesn't want to see them.
What? Have you seen the Jazz in the last two playoffs?
I have, but I think this is a different team.
And both were in five.
Different team.
No, Houston's going to roll them.
I think Conley, Clarkson, you've got too much scoring now.
They don't want to see Houston. They don't want to see Houston.
If we see it, I mean, we'll see. I would put my money on. I would put my money on the Jazz.
Really?
You know what I really don't like about that Jazz?
We're gonna have very different playoff brackets. This will be fun.
I didn't even know that was an upcoming segment, but I am excited for that. But I don't like that the Jazz are probably gonna have to pay Gobert big money because he made an All NBA team. Like, if I'm a Utah fan, I'm stressing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If he makes an All-NBA team?
No, he did. He's Supermax eligible.
Oh, that's... Yeah, it's that's right, because they freaking only... They have to take centers. That's so stupid.
Yeah. No, I'm not a like, center guy.
Is Gobert a top 15 player in the league? No. Like, that's just dumb. That's totally unfair to them, too, because then they got to pay him.
Yeah.
Warriors dodged a bullet on that, by the way, with Clay.
That he didn't? Yeah. I mean, I would have paid him still, though.
No, I'm just saying, like, so they didn't have to pay him more.
Yeah.
Because you would pay him, but obviously, if you're a team, you'd rather pay him less.
Yeah, true.
It'll be very interesting to see what happens with I mean, it's just I don't really care about regular season. I don't care about any of the awards because it's just regular season. So,
I hope the Sixers actually. Ooh, I don't know how I feel about this. Because the thing about. I'm just thinking about Indiana has an upcoming matchup against the Miami Heat. Two of them. And then they could potentially play a 7-game series against them.
That'll be fun. That's going to be such a fun series.
Yeah. That's my dream series, to beat Miami, because of all the times in my childhood that they took down my team, so.
That's right.
Yeah. Ooh,
yeah, there's some history with those teams. Some recent history, but still history.
Boston Philly has history.
I mean, Boston LA would be, that's the biggest history in the league. Lakers Celtics.
Oh yeah, that does seem fitting.
Right? You know what would be a really funny history? Toronto Clippers.
Ugh, I don't want to see that.
No, because Kawhi versus the Raptors.
Give me the Raptors all day, though.
Ooh.
If that happens, no. I think the Clippers are a better team. But
just imagine that the team Kawhi left beats him in the finals without him.
That's not a surprise. That would happen.
That'd be comedy. It'd just be so funny if that happened.
The reason why I think that the Raptors could, if they weren't in the Celtics' path, like, they could make a run. But the thing is, the Raptors, the reason why their defense is so good is because their ability to double and help and key in on one player or one or two players is so good. Boston has four scoring threats, legitimately. Four good scoring threats. So, like...
I think they have five.
I'm talking,
no, they have four. They have four. They have four. My bad.
I'm talking guys who give you, 15 to 20 any given night.
Yeah, my bad. They have four. Tatum, yeah, Hayward, Jalen, Kemba.
Yeah, Boston just upped their record against Toronto to 3-1.
Yep. They destroyed them. Jalen and Tatum didn't even play the second half, I don't think. Yep. Or if they did, it was very short.
I hammered so many bets on them, and it all worked out in my favor.
The Raptors scored 14 points in the first quarter. They ended the first half with 37 points. And biggest concern with the Raptors is if they can score in these playoff games. Because I know they're going to defend.
I'm telling you, bro, it's all about matchups in the East. Scoring. In the East, really all about matchups right now.
Yeah, there's a lot of things going on. Especially, the East is a toss-up. Both conferences are. I don't feel confident saying any team will make the finals, and that's so refreshing after the last four finals of Cavs Warriors.
I mean, I'm a LeBron and Curry guy, so I didn't mind that, but...
Well, no, I loved it too as a basketball fan, and I hated how everyone would, complain about it.
Yeah, no, it's but imagine Peyton and Brady went at it. I'm just saying
it's cool to see something different. In
football, imagine no one's complaining.
If we got Brady Breeze for 3 years straight, when the Saints lost to the Rams on that crazy no call and the Rams played the Patriots, no one wanted that to happen. Everyone wanted Breeze Brady in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? And getting A-listers like LeBron and Curry against each other year after year was great. And then it turned into KD versus and Steph versus LeBron. And then it was all right, what are we doing here?
Yeah, no, I still don't get over KD because, not because of the first move, the second move to leave the Warriors just shows me you didn't have intentions to win after the first one.
It almost, honestly, and I love KD, he's on my team, but it almost seems like he just wanted to play great basketball. You know what I mean? But that is winning, so it kind of goes both ways.
No, I think after the first ring, he stopped caring about winning, and he just wants to prove he's the best in the world. That's my – I really think that. Like, I'm firm on that.
I don't know. I think that guy's a winner. I really do.
I think he has all the tools to be. I think after the first ring, he was all, let me be the best player in the world.
I mean, he won finals MVP, you know? I mean, it's not – I don't know what to expect from him coming back off this injury, but I can't imagine that he's not going to still be, you know, at least 80% of Kevin Durant.
I guess, yeah.
See what I'm saying?
By the way, I just want to say, if TJ Warren is 70 to 80% of what he is now, he's a 25-a-game scorer. He's probably still shooting 50, 40, 90 splits or something like 50, 40, like 85 splits. He's still a bucket, even if he's 70, 80% of
He's good. I get it.
He's going to drop off, but even if he drops off, let's say his points per game drops down by 10. This dude's still averaging 26, 25 a game. Like, let's not get it twisted. We're watching a star in the making.
He's great, but star in the making is, I think you're pushing a little. I think you're overreacting a little bit.
No, because I don't think this is just out of the blue, because he literally...
You didn't rank him top 40. What do you mean out of the blue? You didn't rank him top 40. And when I said when he was on mine, you were like surprised. You were like, really? TJ Warren? Were you not?
I didn't think you would pay the respect to him, but no, what? But I'm not a guy
who stays on. You didn't pay the respect.
I'm not a guy who just stays on one opinion. Like, I can change my opinion. Like, I think that TJ.
You literally, like, no matter what I would tell you, you'd be like, no, can't change my mind. Steph Curry is having the better career.
Yeah, at the time.
Like,
yeah.
even
Kevin Durant were to win Finals MVP with the Nets, different story.
Okay, never mind. Because you weren't saying that before. You're like, that's not happening. I'm not even gonna entertain that.
Yeah, because it's not happening. It's not even close to happening.
There you go. Take it away. Wait, so let's just go on this eighth seed stuff. Suns are probably the hottest team right now. Portland is the best roster. And the Grizzlies have the eighth seed right now. Spurs just beat the Pelicans. Pelicans are out. Let's not even mention them. Kings are, I mean, if the Nets beat the Kings, that's when you know they got a problem. And De'Aaron Fox looked great that game, but I like just watching that Nets Kings game. I just thought the Nets were just the better team, so I don't think they have a chance. You know, there's only so much of a ceiling you can have with De'Aaron Fox as your best player, maybe not as your two or three, but as your best, especially missing Bagley. Hurts a little bit. And Buddy Hield has been on a minutes restriction for whatever reason. I don't know if he's hurt. Pelicans are done. They're not making it. And I'm done talking about the Pelicans.
Are they eliminated now?
I think that if either Portland or like Memphis wins one more game, they're not like officially eliminated, but like I can tell you confidently they're not going to make it.
Okay. No, Portland, I think
has to win one more game and they play us like tomorrow or in a few days.
I think if Portland or Phoenix gets a 9 seed,
Memphis lost though.
I'm saying
against Toronto.
I'm just gonna assume Memphis stays with the A seed, and like that's for this little theory. If Portland and Phoenix gets the 9 seed, Memphis is gonna stay the A seed. But if San Antonio gets it,
so you're high on Popovich. It's just look, I'll give the Grizzlies Thunder game as an example. The Grizzlies to be honest with you, I think they're kind of getting exposed in the bubble.
Who?
The Grizzlies.
Yeah, I mean,
I think they're not as good as all these other playoff teams. I think they benefited partly from an easy schedule. I saw this one stat, and it was of the Grizzlies. It was a bunch of stats, like it was their points per game, field goal percentage, like three-pointers attempted, all that. And it was like the exact same thing as the 73 Warriors. It was very, very similar.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, all right, this is just stupid. But, I mean, they've won one game, and it was that Thunder game. But guys like Anthony Tolliver and Grayson Allen are playing, like, huge minutes for them. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I don't think also because Jaren Jackson is out.
Yeah. Jaren Jackson. It's just every... now that everyone's healthy, like Portland, and their schedule isn't as easy, I mean, I don't really see it. And again, they actually beat the Thunders in this game. The Thunder League in this game, they were down early, but they came back in the second quarter and up 20 in third. They won it, and it was huge because Portland just lost to, they just lost to the Clippers, and the Clippers didn't even play like most of their crunch time guys. Kawhi missed the whole game. PG played less than 30 minutes. But my thing, I don't think Memphis is. I don't think they're as good as Portland, and the way Phoenix is playing, I think Phoenix is just as good as them. And I think San Antonio, you're right. Yeah.
Looking at the Portland right now, they just started out 6-0 against the Sixers. I think Portland just keep looking that good.
Yeah. I mean, nothing much to say about them. Like, they have Damian Lillard, and, you know, him and CJ McCollum ranked in your All-NBA teams, right?
Yeah.
Exactly. So, these guys are proven. Like, they know what it takes, and now they have their starters, they have their... They finally have their whole team back, and they're scary. And honestly, if you're the Lakers, who do you want to play? I know who I'd want to play.
Between who?
Between all the teams that could like have a shot, Phoenix,
Memphis,
Portland, Memphis, and San Antonio.
I'd want to play Memphis.
See, I would go Phoenix. Actually, they don't have anyone to guard Devin Booker.
Yeah, I don't think if Phoenix makes it, they'll have gone either 7-1 or 8-0. I don't want to face that team.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're right. They're good, but I mean, Lakers are. I think the only team I can fathom beating them that I think even has a chance worth talking about is the Blazers.
Yeah, but even them, I don't think that they would win.
I just think they're the only team that has, like, a chance. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I get that. Yeah.
It's late third quarter right now. Boston's only up 5 against Orlando. No, they need to win this game.
Yeah.
The Nets need the 7 seed.
I need this game.
Why? Oh, yeah. You need this one.
Yeah, I do, for betting purposes.
You know what's funny? Did anyone on Orlando rank in our top 40?
Orlando? No.
I think we messed that up. Vucevic is probably in there.
No, I still wouldn't put him there.
Really?
Yeah.
I think he might slip in. I don't know. It's tough, but. The NBA has been great so far, and honestly, I love how, and again, we talked about this earlier, I loved seeing the Cavs and Warriors in the finals, because I loved seeing the A-listers go at it on the highest stakes, but I just think it's refreshing to have a year where I can wake up, and you could talk me into you could talk me into, like, Denver-Toronto as the finals, and I'd be like, that makes sort of some sense.
You know,
there's just so many possibilities.
A great game tomorrow is Phoenix versus Oklahoma City.
Yeah, it should be fun.
Yeah. Because
every game is big for that 4-6 race for the West between any team after the third seed in the West, every game is huge for them. Like after Denver, all the teams are close. Agreed. Except for Dallas. Dallas is kind of like set where they are, I think.
Yeah, no, Dallas is locked into the 7th seed.
I think they're still too removed from the 6th seed, even with their huge win to the Bucks, and Luka had a legendary game.
Yeah, he did.
First 21-year-old to put up like 39, like 20 and something like that.
Mm-hmm.
He had a phenomenal game, but I don't know how
you had Luka so low.
I told you his injuries. Luka, I wanted to put him like 6.
He missed like 13 games. Or 14 games.
I mean, right?
Like, that's not too much.
I'm huge with games played, and I looked at how, I know, I simply looked at what seed they were, and they were only the 7th with all the games he missed.
I don't know.
I want to say he missed like 15 or 14 before Wait, how many games has Dallas played? Five, right? They played five games in the bubble?
Yeah.
And so he's played 59 games, so that would put him at 54. Yeah, he missed like 15. That's a lot. It's like a fourth. Fourth. A little more than a fourth. That's like 30%. That's big. And the fact that it cost them so many games, so I had to dock him just because, you know, like I wasn't going to put him over Jokic cuz Denver was just playing better, and I like guys that stay healthy. One of the biggest reasons I like Kyle Lowry is just because he's always available in the playoffs.
I mean, Anthony Davis missed 8 games.
Yeah, 8. That's half of what Luka missed, basically.
Who else did you have over Luka?
I had Tatum over him. I had Tatum, Jokic. Again, I would have put him like 5th if it wasn't for the injuries. Tatum, Jokic, I had over him. I had
You had Kawhi Davis. Over him?
Yeah. Oh, come on now. Yeah. Kawhi, with, LeBron,
if you're Giannis. All injuries, then Kawhi should have been under Giannis. But clearly...
No.
Exactly. It comes down to who's the better player.
No, because even with PG missing time, Patrick Beverley missing time, Kawhi still kept that team as a second seed and has proved in big games and last year why he's that high. Like, Kawhi just won the Finals MVP. Luka hasn't played a playoff game. And again, I would have had Luka higher, but you can't use that same logic for Kawhi because Kawhi's proved so much more. And he wasn't injured. Load management is what he does. Luka was injured, and it was always little nagging injuries. You know what I mean? Like sore wrist, like sore ankle, whatever. Missed a few games for his knee, what have you. I just, you know, I would have ranked him higher, but it was just injuries for me. That was it. Nothing against Luka's game. Because I said coming out of the draft that he might be top 10 all time, if not counting centers. Luka? Like, I thought he was that special, just how talented he is.
Luka or AD?
Luka.
Oh, yeah. I thought he was going to be great, too.
I thought it was crazy how he wasn't a number one pick. He just won the Euro MVP and played, like, 80 games and was amazing.
I've never been a guy who thinks too much of athleticism.
Clearly, and I don't even... I'm not even... My bad, you go. What were you going to say?
I was just going to say, I've never been so high on athleticism as being a key factor of how good a player is.
My thing was just, well, see, and I don't follow the draft that much. I don't watch a lot of college basketball, to be honest with you. I zone in on the NBA. I watch the tournament, obviously, but I'm not like a huge college basketball fan that's like watching all these games. But what Luka was able to do in the EuroLeague, and it's the second best league in the world, I thought it was more impressive than like what he would have done in college. Like, he won the MVP. He was the best player.
Yeah, I feel that. Yeah.
See what I'm saying? We both love Luka.
Yeah.
There was someone else I ranked above him, and Harden. That's who it was. Harden. I had Harden above him.
Oh, okay.
Harden, and Harden's like Mr. Durable, honestly. That's one of the underrated things with Harden, how durable he is. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah. Definitely, for sure.
Mm-hmm. But that's all for me. That pretty much wraps up everything. I've been loving this season. I cannot wait to the playoffs. And I just, it's refreshing not knowing what's going to happen at the end of the story. So that's all for me.
Completely agree. Yeah.
Any closing remarks?
None for me.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. Thank you for tuning in to NBA Therapy. We appreciate the support. We'll be back Wednesday with another podcast. And again, thank you for your support. Thank you for everything you guys... Oh, wait, one more thing, real quickly. Can we stop with the Devin Booker, Kobe Bryant stuff? Can we stop? I'm sorry. Look, I get he's great. I get Devin Booker's great. But can we stop comparing him to Kobe? That's it. Just stop comparing Devin Booker to Kobe.
Lost a bet, so I got a shout out on my guy, my friend Sean Irby, for beating me in 1-on-1 basketball. 11-4 first game, and then like 14-12 in the second game. Yeah.
Sean, if you're listening, I hope you're happy. Congrats on that win over Steven. Steven's a big 3-point shooter, so if you can limit that in his game, he's pretty one dimensional.
Maybe you should play me. We'll see what happens.
All right, that's all for me. Thank you guys for watching, and we'll see you next time. Bye.
Peace.